I think there is a popular theme among a lot of the great modern media, like the kinds of TVs and shows that collect tons of awards, but are also really loved by most regular people. And that theme is exposing or critiquing the dark side of class inequality and capitalism. It seems like the lower class, the middle class, and the upper class are all eating this shit up. And from the lower and middle classes, probably isn't surprising. But why is the higher class not only praising, but funding and financially supporting media that flames themselves and the systems they benefit from? The whole idea behind this video today came from the fact that I've been watching the TV show Severance, and I cannot stop thinking about it, not just about the plot or the characters, but the show's existence. And if you're not familiar, Severance is a TV show that follows a group of people who work for a massive corporation that has created a procedure to split your brain into two sides, your work self and your personal self. So it's kind of like living two lives, each one having no idea the memories or the experiences of the other. It has a lot to say about workplace slavery and companies that create cult-like followings with godlike CEOs. And it's also an Apple TV original. The company Apple made a show with that messaging and distributed it to a huge audience. I mean, I just think that that's ironic. And there are other shows where I can understand maybe the critiquing of capitalist systems is less in your face, like Breaking Bad. It's not too hard to piece together the connection between broken healthcare systems and living paycheck to paycheck and intense individualism that could propel someone to become corrupted by power and greed. But I don't think that's what people are thinking about when they watched Breaking Bad. They're thinking about the great acting and the fast-paced plot, not about the societal commentary. AMC and Sony didn't think that there's any risk in Breaking Bad turning the public into anti-capitalist radicals and it coming back to bite them. And they're probably right to think that. But we're getting closer and closer to the line. It's not so subtle anymore. Both media and the public are becoming more and more disillusioned with wealth inequality and the current state of capitalism, and are pushing each other further and further down the line. Films like The Menu and Sorry to Bother You are so strong in depicting these themes that they practically say outright that capitalism and the ruling class is destroying society. So, today I want to talk about this type of messaging in media, who it's coming from, who it benefits, and what consequences it may or may not bring. Imagine you're a writer for TV and movies, and you have an idea about a post-apocalyptic society that's been destroyed by climate change. All the remaining humans on Earth live on a train. The poor classes towards the back of the train start a rebellion to overtake the elites at the front. And this is the plot of the movie Snowpiercer. And if that's not a story about communist revolution, then I don't know what is. You want to get your story and criticism of class out to as many people as possible, but to get a guaranteed audience, there really is only one option, and that is playing right into the hands of the system and connecting with powerful billion-dollar media conglomerates and agreeing what percent of the profit that they'll get on your idea in exchange for them to produce it. And I'm sure the irony of this is not lost on writers like Bong Joon-ho, who wrote and directed Snowpiercer. But what other option do you have? Unless you're part of the 1% already, you need these guys to have any hope of turning your idea into a successful reality. And if you can get past swallowing that pill, maybe you go with the angle of, okay, I'm using them for good. Still, you might think there's no way these guys are going to buy into a blatantly anti-capitalist script like this. But you'd be wrong. HBO made Succession. 21st Century Fox, before it got acquired, made Fight Club. International giant CJ Group made Parasite. Netflix has really pushed it with things like Squid Game, Black Mirror, and Don't Look Up. Even Disney made WALL-E, and back in the 90s, A Bug's Life. Watch A Bug's Life again as an adult, having just awareness of Marxist concepts. There are more and more shows and movies popping up everywhere, condemning unethical profiting and consolidation of power, produced and distributed by some of the wealthiest global kings of storytelling. And this is present in traditional nonfiction media as well, like news outlets, usually the liberal ones, frequently feature articles where late-stage capitalism is being ripped apart, usually from a political angle. And I want to be happy about this, not because I'm a communist. I probably am going to come across that way in this video, but it's actually because I'm in favor of people questioning traditional systems and pointing out the flaws in them, especially when they've historically been treated as untouchable. But it just feels a little weird to have this messaging out there coming from the megaphone of the enemy. It's kind of like when Amazon puts out those commercials talking about how important workplace safety and employee welfare is. Like, that level of irony is actually disgusting to me, but for some reason in TV and movies, it's a little different. And I'm not sure if that's because it's being presented in a more enjoyable way, or if because when you're watching a show, there's this big disconnect between you and the messenger. You don't feel like Apple TV is feeding you propaganda. You just feel like you're having a nice time at home, eating dinner with some entertainment. The creator or the messenger is hardly even noticeable. I feel like films and TV are actually really special, especially when they're well done, because the messaging feels like it's coming from the characters. I'm learning about the consequences of greed, exploitation, and unregulated business from the Roy family or Marty and Wendy Bird. There's this world building that takes place so that the moral of the story seems like it's coming from someone who's not real, but you can make the connection yourself to see how it's relevant to your own life and actual society around you. But of course, the idea that America's current attention economy and how it operates could deter news media from telling the public the truth about a world-ending comet for the sake of making a profit is an idea that came from a person, a real guy named Adam McKay. Even though it was distributed by Netflix, Netflix does not have ideas. People have ideas. So I think ultimately the roast of capitalism is coming from Adam McKay, not really Netflix. Even if an employee of Hulu has an idea for a new docuseries about how certain businesses exploit undocumented immigrants for the sake of making more money, that message isn't exactly from Hulu. This whole thing is strange because Adam McKay, or someone like him, appears to want societal change based on how he writes stories. Despite him benefiting from the current system, he's been able to start his own production company, he wears nice clothes, I don't know what his net worth is, but based on his accolades and his position in the industry, I'm going to guess he's doing pretty well. If America migrated to a more democratic socialist model, he'd probably pay a lot more in taxes. But does someone have to be a victim of a system in order to critique it? If we said that, then so many of these amazing pieces of media that point out capitalism's biggest weaknesses would never be seen because the people struggling underneath its barriers don't have the resources in order to share these stories with the world. It's kind of funny and sad that we have to rely on wealthy people to critique wealth because they're the only ones with enough means to make their voice heard on a national or global level. And a lot of them are never going to do that. The best we'll get is them critiquing the working class. So even though a story like Precious will hit extra hard coming from a woman like Sapphire, that's the exception, not the rule. So I'm glad that Adam McKay continues to use his status and money to expose the lack of consequences for banks and hedge fund managers in a movie like The Big Short. Even if you're a participant in something, you can still want it to change. But still, back to my earlier question, maybe these individuals want change, but a lot of people, and certainly most companies, don't. Not the big for-profit companies. So why do they agree to put these ideas in front of millions of people? Why aren't they afraid of any blowback? I'm just speculating, but one guess I have is that media companies do not fear the minds of the masses because we're not that sophisticated. You know how sometimes you're at a party and there's a guy there who is like a film guy and he's talking about the movie Parasite and he's analyzing the themes and the symbols and the colors and the blocking and he actually knows the names of the crew who made it, not just the actors, and he knows the year that Fight Club was released and how it did at the box office. Like, he's into film. And my point is that this guy stands out because most people are not like him when they watch movies. Most people like movies and TV, but how many of them are actually thinking about the underlying social commentary when they're watching something? I'm not even that film guy, and I'm making a whole video right now about critique of capitalism in media. There's plenty of people out there who are fans of media with anti-capitalist themes, but aren't even aware that those themes are there. We just like the plot and the acting and the aesthetic. We are so overwhelmed with nonstop media being pumped out from every direction, every screen. Our attention spans are burnt to shit. Half the people who started the first episode of Black Mirror probably didn't even get to the end where the true meaning is revealed. They just stopped midway through and thought, this is weird, I don't get it, I'll turn on, is it cake? And even if you do get someone to notice the social commentary in a show, you have it for a few minutes, maybe an evening, and then it's probably gone. The chances of it sticking in their mind enough to actually change beliefs, much less actions, is really slim. And even to give people more credit, let's say they watch Squid Game and they pick up on the messages about class inequality and how elites will dangle the chance to succeed over poor people who unfortunately take it and go against each other because they wrongly perceive themselves to be a temporarily embarrassed future millionaire. It's not like Squid Game offers any real suggestions of what to do about how this problem shows up in real life. And not that it has to, but most people will just stop there. Unless the next steps are spelled out for them, they may never take any. Another problem is that I've just shared a lot of examples of TV and movies that have anti-capitalist messages in them, but there's also a ton of examples that glorify capitalism, or at the very least have some mixed messages about it. And it kind of is like that slogan of the old tobacco companies that doubt is the product. If you can get people confused, if you can have mixed messages coming at them, then a lot of the public will just throw up their hands and say, I don't know what to think. And then you don't have to worry about them unionizing or boycotting or rioting. I feel like the past couple of minutes, I've just been dancing around the point of some people are just stupid. And of course, the media companies are not afraid of nuanced criticisms taking hold in the public discourse if the majority of us are too dumb to perceive them, much less act on them. Two other things that I think give these media companies peace of mind are anonymity and basically indestructible brand image. When people think about huge, powerful businesses and rich CEOs, they think of Amazon, Tesla, Meta. The streaming companies we might think of because we give them our money every month, but a lot of the production and distribution companies we don't really think of. We don't know them as well. A company like Annapurna is not going to advertise itself. It doesn't need to be a known name to the public. It'll advertise the movies it makes, and that achieves what they're looking for. Something that I have realized since working in corporate is how many companies out there, how many different corporations are a part of your daily life, and you will never, ever know about them. And especially in media, if you know about the Big Six, it's pretty easy to go unnoticed in the complicated web of subsidiaries and parent companies and joint ownership and co-production. If you're as big of a business like Disney, it's not that hard for you to completely separate your brand image of Disney, the rock-solid, happy, family-friendly image that it's had pretty strongly for years, and also simultaneously, without anyone really knowing, produce something like American Horror Story, because they own FX. No one will ever associate American Horror Story with Disney. They have mastered public relations, and Disney has so much money and power. If they wanted to acquire Warner Bros. And Paramount, I don't even know if the FCC would stop them. And there is something kind of unique about TV and movies in that if there's a message that doesn't land so well with the public, a lot of times the actors get some of the flack. Like, I remember after Barbie came out and a lot of men were not happy about the feminist messages in that movie. All of a sudden, I felt like I started seeing online this commentary about how Margot Robbie's mid. Margot Robbie isn't even that hot. I can't believe they cast Margot Robbie to play Barbie. She's not even like that good looking. I never saw that kind of commentary when she was in Wolf of Wall Street. But now all of a sudden she's in a feminist movie and the tides turn a little against her. I think especially in America, media companies and other types of mega conglomerations are painfully aware that even if class consciousness and anti-consumerism gains popularity in the mainstream, a lot of them are too big to ever be taken down. Like, Netflix has had a couple of scandals by putting out Cuties and the Jeffrey Dahmer show. There was a lot of flack for those things for a couple of weeks, and then it all just died down onto the next thing. They're doing perfectly fine. Amazon, haven't given a dollar of my money to that company in years, and yet they're doing absolutely fine. I don't know what would have to happen to take them down. Even if like a company like Sony, something came out that the executives were abusing underage sex workers or something crazy, I just feel like the public would be mad for a few days, maybe a few weeks, and then they would just use all their money and power to bog everything down and wiggle their way out of litigation, and everything would go back to normal, and they would distract us by putting out a new Spider-Man movie. There are no serious consequences for behaving unethically when you have billions of dollars, whether the public is aware of your law breaking or not. It doesn't really matter whether or not these media companies decide to pick up stories that have a pro-capitalist or an anti-capitalist message, as long as they are holding onto the power and control and the ability to change direction if they ever feel like they need to, and they can make more profit off of a young leftist crowd who likes to buy media like this. They'll still be able to shape ideas through the type of entertainment that they choose to put on the big screen. And by the time we realize that these companies are too rich and powerful that they can say and do anything they want, it's too late. One other thing I was considering about these media brands is that maybe associating with anti-capitalist critique could actually help their reputation. And it's not as trendy as it used to be, but for at least 10 years, and especially for millennials, peak comedy was self-deprecating. We love when someone turns their flaws not into something to hide, but to something that we can all make fun of and laugh at. And this is something you see sometimes on social media. Companies occasionally pointing out weird negative things about themselves in order to get engagement and to change perception that this company is more like a unhinged funny person than a big business. And even if you don't laugh at their attempts at jokes, maybe at least you appreciate the transparency and effort to seem human. So much of this content is painfully lame, but for every brand trying to roast themselves, there's 1,000 brands posting the exact same Happy Valentine's Day from personal injury law firm, or plastic manufacturer, or bank, which is also painfully lame and really does zero for people to think anything about your brand aside from you are part of a capitalist machine. Similar to this, let's try being weird and relating to cool young people approach. I think streaming services are definitely trying that with their TV and movie selection. I remember when I watched the Joan is Awful episode of Black Mirror on Netflix, and I couldn't believe that Netflix had the balls to roast themselves like that, like to critique streaming services and suggest that they themselves are part of the problem. And they were very like meta about it. It was not subtle at all. And I think my respect for Netflix did go up a little bit. Like, okay, Netflix, you're not afraid to talk about these things and the problems with modern tech companies, including yourself. And I think one advantage of them doing that, like, if it were to come out later this year that by signing up for a Netflix account, you're signing away a lot of your privacy rights, it wouldn't be as big of a surprise because they already floated that idea in a fictional episode with not much blowback. I think this tactic of associating with critiques of capitalism is a way to build trust and gain some respect from your audience, even if they think that you're an evil, exploitative company who will do anything for a dollar. At least you're being honest about the truth of the system rather than trying to pretend like you're innocent. And that is worth something, especially today where no ethical consumption under capitalism and lesser of two evils are present ideas at the front of people's minds. But a concern I have is that media has an ability to make it seem like things are happening in real life by showing it on screen. And I want more people to be thinking about wealth inequality and the downfalls of late-stage capitalism and how we can be a better society, even if it's coming from an ironic messenger. But if it's being shown in a lot of TV and movies, maybe it could lead to some viewers thinking like, oh wow, look at these ideas permeating the mainstream. I'm so glad. Looks like I don't have to try as much. Or another possibility would be someone sees these crazy fictional depictions of big companies running rampant, exploiting people left and right, and they see the connection between the show and the real world, but the show is so gripping and entertaining that you would rather spend multiple weeks sitting on your couch binging this show than going out and engaging in any way with your own community about real world problems. Even when it's got a meaningful message, it's still entertainment at the end of the day. And I think there's something really ironic about this in Don't Look Up, where the movie is saying like, oh, the media is taking this really serious issue and turning it into something casual and fun. And yet, I think you could make the argument that the fact that Don't Look Up is a comedy movie is taking a serious issue and turning it into something flippant and hilarious. Like, they're critiquing the exact thing that they are also doing, but maybe a humorous critique is better than none at all. Before I wrap up, I have one small tangent about YouTube and whether or not it's different from the media companies that make TV and movies. And ultimately, I think it's not that different. The creators of videos are like the writers who have stories and ideas to share, and we don't feel that connected to our distributor in that there was no pitch for YouTube to pick up this video that I'm making right now. I didn't have to find a producer. They automatically pick it up as long as it's not illegal or breaks any of their other rules. If I want to talk about capitalism, specifically the negatives of capitalism in media, and not talk about any positives, I can do that. And YouTube will distribute it. Maybe. I think what makes YouTube the same as these other companies is that if it wants to, or if it feels like it needs to, it can suppress ideas that it feels will come back to bite them. And there is this magical algorithm that can make it seem like if a video does well, it was done so democratically through a process chosen by the viewers. But really, it's up to YouTube of what they decide to put even on the ballot. There's a billion videos out there that are amazing, but for one reason or another, YouTube chose to not push them out to an audience. And I don't actually think that YouTube is suppressing user-generated content critiquing capitalism. There are plenty of channels out there with messages and themes like this that are doing very well, so success is definitely possible. I don't think they're scared of this topic for the same reason that I don't think other media companies are scared that I talked about earlier. But if YouTube wanted to, they could push people down a pipeline of CEO worship and hyper-capitalist policies type content, because success with videos like that is also very possible on this platform. Even though now I feel more aware of the irony of anti-capitalist messages being shared to the masses through the channels of capitalism, and it will probably always be a little weird to me, I would rather have these pieces of media than not. I love when a TV show or a movie just has me thinking about the commentary on our culture and what's going on in our country. And as much as I would love for these ideas to be spread through traditional coffee house debate or by reading nonfiction books written by the experts, if it's going to come through the form of digital entertainment, that's okay too. Maybe the coffee houses were how revolution or large scale change happened in the past, but where we're at right now, I think that digital entertainment media is probably the best option to reach the most eyeballs. Let's take advantage of this avenue the best that we can while we still have the freedom to openly critique our society on platforms that are pretty appealing to most of the public, instead of slipping into entertainment as a form of relaxation and fun and escape from the daily pressures. It can be all of those things, relaxing and fun, and learning a little and using your brain and thinking about some things that really matter. So if you enjoyed this video and this kind of content, please consider giving it a like or subscribe, and thank you so much for watching.